Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, well, this is interesting. I got to admit, I'm going to enjoy this one for a while. So, here is Mark Schlereth at the IHOP on Broadway in Highlands Ranch. Excuse me, on University. 95-65. South University. And come on by. We are here for the Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. And Mr. Mark Schlereth, who always used to brag about, I was the first one into the facility every morning. Me and Greek would play a little cribbage. And I'd get my therapy in and everything like that. Always on time. I'm never late. So what happened this morning? You head out to the airport again?
No, I went to the station this morning.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth.
Well, you know, when I get all this extra homework, I'm at the station to do a little bit more work. And so I'm in there just putzing around. Johnny goes, you realize we got a breakfast club this morning? I was like, oh, shoot. Like, and this is literally.
Where'd this come from?
I don't know, but this is literally 5 minutes from my house.
I know.
And I went all the way down to the station. And anyhow. Such is life. That's what you go sometimes.
But you're here.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You were about a minute late, so this wasn't...
Well, actually, we were a little early on air.
This is good.
I got in the parking lot at 5:58.
Well, welcome.
Rip greeted me, by the way.
I thought you got an escort from Rip. I thought Rip gave you a Rip escort.
Yeah.
Rip, saw you on the season premiere of Yellowstone. You were awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Just fantastic. Fantastic. Where did the snow come from?
I don't have any idea.
I woke up this morning, and I come, you know, lumbering downstairs, half asleep, and I stop. I do a double take. I'm looking outside like, okay, we have another full moon? I mean, is it like a weird full moon?
Right.
Is it like reflecting off the ground somehow differently? And I look closer, I'm like, damn, it's snowing out. Where'd this come from?
Yeah, I know.
There's quite a bit out there.
Side streets are slick, by the way.
Yeah.
Really slick. So be careful.
Yes. Actually, this is our reminder. This is really the first kind of real, second winter driving day, but first weekday winter driving day, correct? Wasn't the last one we had on
I'm gone on the weekend.
So it was a weekend. Yeah. The last snow we got was on a weekend. So this is really the first commute drive of the winter. So be careful, everybody. Sometimes it takes you a while to get back into winter driving mode.
Mm-hmm.
Take it easy. Take it slow. I just came down C-470 from basically C-470 and 70 over here to C-470 and University, and smooth ride on both sides my way. One thing I could say, not only are there 6 a.m. listeners, the best listeners of the bunch, I suspect they're probably the best drivers, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're used to this. By the time the 8 a.m.ers get up, it's already, you know, it's already melted off most of the time. So they're like, what snow? I saw no snow.
This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. Yeah, but hopefully no 8 a.m. drivers are up too early right now, because we don't want them to
panic.
Panic and wreak havoc.
Well, if they do get up, they just pull their head back under the covers, and they're like, I can't do this. They had to get an emotional day or something. It's too rainy.
All right, so it is another Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club, and we are here at the IHOP 9565 South University Boulevard in Highlands Ranch, okay? 9565 South University Boulevard right here in Highlands Ranch, and we invite you to come on by. As we want you to try out, as we did the last time, and I left extra room. I hardly ate last night because I want to make sure I get some of this all-new thick and fluffy French toast. You get it for free with the purchase of any order of $10.43 or more. So the Fan Breakfast Club going on today at the IHOP in Highlands Ranch. Love to have you come on by. Don't rush, but hey, on a day like today, you want to maybe be fortified with a really good breakfast before you head into work or wherever else you're going. So good morning, Mark Schlereth. How are you?
Yeah, I am good, man. I am doing really good. Things are great. So anyhow, yeah.
It is a Leftovers Tuesday, so whatever stuff that did not get talked about in the immediate aftermath of the Broncos game on Sunday, yesterday we talked about, you could hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. It is a Teller Strader Tuesday, new feature where we get the expert film analysis of one Mark Schlereth, who dives into the coach's film like nobody else in this town, and added importance this week because you will be calling Broncos and Raiders on Sunday on Fox. So, give me some initial observations of what you saw from the Broncos offense.
Yeah, what was the assignment? What, like, we want headlines, right? You want a headline.
I need to know,
right.
And I'm sure the rest of the listeners need to know, why and who is to blame for this offense continuing to struggle?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because, I know you're not going to like me to say this, and I'll break it down in more detail, but when you're not playing well as a group, it tends to be somebody different in every bad situation, in every third down, in every critical moment, in everything that goes wrong. It is not one thing, but it's a myriad of different things. And again, that part of it, if you want to point to that part of the breakdown, well, that goes on, in my opinion, to coaching. Because again, you're either coaching it or you're allowing those things to happen. And those things happen far too frequently. And I'm talking about bad identification. I'm talking about, you know, from the standpoint of bad identification that gets you in trouble, physical mistakes that get you in trouble. And the physical mistakes are going to happen because this is the National Football League, and everybody who plays in the National Football League is damn good. And every team that plays has really good players, right? So if you are not dialed in and tied in on every single play, if all 11 aren't doing their job, then there is going to be a breakdown that happens. And that happens far too frequently. So for that to happen far too frequently, it's it's not being coached up properly. So that's an issue. Then the other thing, just that dawned on me last night as I was going through every single offensive play, is I always kind of look for some trends. I always kind of look for what is it that you hang your hat on and how do you play off of those things. So what's your primary run? What's your first down run? What's your, you know, what do you like, this is what we're going to do. What is that? And I got done and I probably dug through the offensive tape for over 2 hours of digging through just every offensive play. I can't tell you. I can't tell you what they're doing. And so then it comes down to, I just started to think about press conferences. And what do we hear? You know, sometimes it's the plays. Sometimes, you know, we dial up a good play and it doesn't work. And sometimes we dial up a play that is just, I wish I had the play call back. It's just not a good play. And I kept hearing that. And I thought to myself, watching that offensive tape last night, I'm not watching an offense. I'm watching a group of 11 run plays. Do you understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fits. So I always think about the West Coast offense in general. How do we marry, right? How do we marry our run plays with our play action plays, with our play passes? How do we marry our passing game to our running game? And one step further, how do we marry our base or our identity run plays to our adjunct run plays? And I don't know. And there's nothing that I go, oh, okay, that like they're going to get into this formation, and they're going to stay in this formation. They're going to get to it six different ways, but they're going to stay in this formation. They're going to make you play. I can't tell you what that is because I don't think it exists.
Much more on this Telestrator Tuesday as we are live from the IHOP, 9565 South University Boulevard in Highlands Ranch for the Schlereth & Evans Breakfast Club. Come on by, enjoy breakfast, and we'll tell you more about some of the exciting stuff they have going on here and at all IHOPs around the Denver metro area. Up next, Nathaniel Hackett talked about job security. A lot different than ball security. Job security. Both securities are important. Is he coaching for his job on Sunday? That's next.
Schlereth & Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Schlereth & Evans Fans Breakfast Club. We are back out on the road today. Slick roads, snowy roads. Be careful. Unexpected winter driving this morning, so give yourself some extra time. And, yeah, take it easy. The roads are not great. So give yourself some time. Give yourself some extra time and come on by and hang out with us and get a great breakfast. 9565 South University Boulevard in Highlands Ranch. And we invite you to come on by and check out their all-new thick and fluffy French toast. With any purchase of $10 or 43 cents or more, you get a free order of their thick and fluffy French toast. Thick and fluffy, that's how you described it.
Yeah, that was your nickname in high school, I heard, thick and fluffy. I'm not sure about that, but I think it was.
You know what? That's my fault. I set that up for you, so you didn't even have to do anything.
Thick and fluffy is easy.
Hanging curveball, you just hit it out of the park.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So here is Nathaniel Hackett yesterday when asked the question, are you worried that you're coaching for your job this Sunday?
I learned a long time ago you're coaching for your job every day. I mean, every single day you come in that building and you compete and you fight to be the best version of yourself and try to bring the best out of everybody around you. That's just how this is. That's how I've always known it is. I mean, when it comes to the family, I mean, hey, I love them. They know what we got into. This is part of it. I've been doing this my whole life since I was born. It's been going on. And, you know, like I said, you're always coaching for your life. To me, it's not about me, though. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with this team. It has to do with these coaches. It has to do with all of us coming together and find a way to win a football game, and that's on Sunday. But we got to come together as a group. I'm secondary. It's about all of us uniting and coming together and beating the Raiders.
Well, it isn't all about all of you. It is about you, Coach Hackett, on Sunday, because I do think it's fair to say that he's coaching for his job. Hey, know this about Broncos country. They will let their displeasure be known in a way that ownership in the past has acted. I have no doubt that the firing of Josh McDaniels was sped up by the way that the fans reacted and how they left in droves during a loss, ironically enough, to the Raiders. And when they were staring at the very real possibility of 30,000 no-shows at their final couple of home games, I think that really precipitated the move to fire Josh McDaniels. So Broncos country is very powerful when it comes to the message they want to send, and I think that's going to be a bloodthirsty crowd on Sunday, and the new ownership group will be there and taking notice.
Yeah, I mean, that's always one of those, you know, we always talk about hitting people in the pocketbooks, and we talk about how, you know, the Rockies, that never happens because, you know, people are baseball fans, and they're fans of the other team, and there's good tickets to be had, and there's, you know, there's inexpensive seating, and you can roll down on the, you know, light rail or whatever. You can get in there, and it's a pretty great day, right? The ballpark is beautiful. The ballpark's the star, and so that message never gets sent, but it'll get sent here. I mean, come on out and put up another 9-point stinker. Do that again, and you will see people just ushering out of your stadium. It'll be empty. It'll be empty by the fourth quarter. If you put up another one of these wretched games offensively that you continue to put up. And so he's not wrong about, you know, from a player's perspective, it's probably more than from a coach's perspective, but you're always coaching or playing for your job. You know, the film doesn't lie. That's something we used to say all the time. Film don't lie. And, you know, one of the things we'd say in the huddle, you know, you'd be getting your butt kicked and it'd be the eye in the sky don't lie, man. it knows what's going on here, and you know you're going to get exposed. And maybe not on the television copy, and things get lost, and you don't see things. And, you know, you go back and watch the coaches' film sometimes, even games I've called, where I went back and go, how did I miss that? How did I not see that? You know, because your eyes are somewhere else, something else is going on that's important. But, you know, trying to figure out the whys of things. I mean, we talk about on a consistent basis, from a coaching perspective, to be able to adjust and to be able to change and to be able to do things a little bit differently. Heck, we saw a great example of that by Ichiro Evero, where Draymond Jones is playing outside linebacker. In this game, he lined up as an outside linebacker, both weak and strong, taking on tight ends, taking on the weak side tackle in a stand-up position. So then you can put more big bodies inside. Now all of a sudden, you're like, hey, man, we're not so worried about this game plan. We're not so worried about hitting Ryan Tannehill. We're not so worried. Ryan Tannehill ain't going to beat us, right? He's just not going to beat us. What's going to beat us is Derrick Henry. How do we adjust to that? Oh, well, let's get five big bodies on the field. How are we going to do that? Well, let's make Draymond Jones a stand-up defensive end. Like, that stuff to me is coaching. That's adjustment. And then you're asking Draymond Jones, dude, how about the value of Draymond Jones?
Oh.
It continues.
Must resign.
To skyrocket.
Must.
Now all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, but I know we've had you inside. I know we've had you as kind of a 3-4 defensive end, and we slide down into, and this is getting way too deep in the weeds, but into 35s and 37s, meaning, hey, that defensive end's going to slide down over the guard, either weak or strong. Like, that's what that means, right? And we're going to play you inside that way. Hey, no. Now what we're going to do is we're going to play you an outside linebacker.
So they're using Draymond Jones in a way, fill in the blank. They used him in a blank way. Give me a player that everybody would recognize.
Bradley Chubb.
Okay, Bradley Chubb, inside, outside. Anybody else?
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying what they did is they changed his position.
They just said, hey, you're Bradley Chubb this week.
Now you're an outside 3-4 defensive, you're an outside linebacker that still comes inside. But what they said, Mike, and this is coaching. This is the chess match. This is what we do. You're not going to play your normal position. You're going to play outside because it's going to give us one more big body to dominate the line of scrimmage and turn things in. So when they try to run at you, when they run at your side, you're going to stymie and you're going to set an unbelievably strong edge because you're great with your hands. We're going to turn it in to bigger bodies inside, to Mike Purcell, to DJ Jones, to the other guys inside, right? And we're going to let our linebackers flow free. It's exactly what they did. There's a reason Derrick Henry had 53 yards. If this was Vic Fangio instead of Ichiro Evero, he would come out and say, well, I guess everybody's following my blueprint on
right,
how to stop Derrick
right,
Henry.
Right, right.
Like, he would be out there, you know, he would be out there smelling his own gas.
Telestrator Tuesday, man. This is why I love getting your observations of breaking down the film. A really good move coaching from Ichiro Evero. And there's a great example of it. Okay, probably even more. And Evero is a rising star. Evero could be coaching an NFL team next year. And that's why you have to really decide. There's even more urgency now for Nathaniel Hackett because you could have your replacement waiting right here in the wings.
Bring that back because I want to go to something that I heard the Drive talking
all right,
about. And
we'll
so make sure you just take a mental note because I'll forget as soon as something gets in front of my eyes.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah, something shiny.
Ooh.
And don't put any
people.
Nothing
Ooh.
Shiny. Nothing shiny in here.
Ooh, pancakes.
Yeah.
Mark's like, what were we talking about 30 seconds ago?
Mm-hmm.
Bacon. Okay. Morning Brew, coming your way next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, so even 5 months ago, we had one good look, you know. So there have been plenty of chances there to try and square the game. But there, I felt like our intensity, like when the game was on the line and our attack mentality was probably better than it was at times during the game. But at the same time, I thought we created lots of chances, enough chances to win. We really made some saves. We missed on a few opportunities is what it is.
Yeah, Jared Bednar's Avalanche threw 47 shots at Jordan Binnington, who's known for throwing water bottles. Remember that during the playoff series. But Binnington, small measure of revenge. You can't say, ha-ha, Avalanche, take that. Not when you lose to him in the playoffs. But last night, regular season game, Binnington and the Blues, those pesky Blues, came in here last night and beat the Avs 3-2.
Oh, what do we... What? Again.
I know.
Wake me up in February.
Right?
When it starts to matter.
Right.
When are they going to get... When do they get Chewy back? When do they get some of their big guns back? Hockey is interesting because they'll take their time. The season's so long. I understand taking your time if you're a hockey guy, right?
So get this.
Yeah.
Mikko Rantanen got an honor.
Uh-oh.
Number one star of the week.
Was he?
Yes.
Number one star of the week.
Now that matters to you.
Right. The number one star of the week through the National Hockey League?
Through the whole league.
That's big.
Independent of position.
Right. That's big. I'm not looking for yellow ribbons. I'm not looking for the number three star of the league.
This you will acknowledge.
I will acknowledge.
This you will recognize.
Unlike the overtime loss or win, I will acknowledge Mikko Rantanen and all the other Ninnans. All the Ninnans.
All the Ninnans.
All the Ninnans. We love our Finnish. We know that.
I love our salmon soup and reindeer.
Salmon soup and reindeer. You're getting no Christmas in Finland. Eating all the reindeer. Santa can't deliver. One reindeer goes down. You go to Finland to get one. You're not getting any. They're eating them all.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Unfortunately, it's been a bunch of different things. It hasn't just been one thing. I think that, you know, we need to be more consistent across the board with the play calling on how I adjust things for him and get him and I on the same page. And then it's just the execution. Something will go good, and then right afterwards, something might not work out the way that we thought it would. Or there might be something with a route, or there might be something with Russ, maybe a protection. So it's just more collectively as an offense, we have to be more consistent.
And I appreciate Nathaniel Hackett's honesty.
He's 100% right, too. I mean, that's a completely honest and forthright answer.
It is literally, you can't pin your finger on one thing.
Well,
sometimes it's the play calling, sometimes it's the quarterback, sometimes it's the offensive line.
Yeah.
You can't.
A lot of times it's Russ. A lot of times it's Russ.
Most of the time it's Russ. Divvy up the pie for me, okay? The offensive blame pie. Nice rhubarb.
Right.
Pumpkin.
Delicious.
Whatever floats your Thanksgiving holiday boat. Give me a pie. Give me the division of blame.
All right.
60%, you know, that's kind of it.
Now, this is a big Mike.
And it all equals 100 now.
Yeah, this is a big Mike Tomlin term right here. What's my division of labor? He always talks about his division of labor for different players. Like in the running back position. Here's how the division of labor is going to go. So you want a division of blame, right?
Yes, that's what I want.
All right. I'm going to say, so it's got to equal 100.
Yes.
This is difficult for me, as you know.
And if you,
now I'm really going to have to think.
Just give me the first two, and then I'll fill in the blank for the last one.
Okay. So how do you want it? We coach,
quarterback. O-line, and quarter. Or no. Yeah, coach, which falls under play design.
Okay.
Quarterback,
mm-hmm.
O-line, and receivers not winning. So four categories.
All right.
Ooh, this just got tougher.
Yes, it did. So let's go coach. Well, I was going to say 35%, but then I've got a five. Then five.
You might want to stay with whole numbers.
Yeah, let's start with whole numbers.
30.
Let's go coaching 30.
Okay.
Let's go QB 30.
Okay.
And let's divvy up what's left. 20 and 20. O-line. Receivers not winning. And not blocking. And
right.
Thanks for that, Rachel.
That's not. That's because that's depressing. Because if it was just one thing, you'd be able to say, all right, fix that. But
right.
It is just a kind of an even Steven all across the board.
Right. But now I would say this. I would put more of the onus when it comes to fixing it on coaching.
Sam Russ.
Yes.
All right, hold that thought.
Yeah, so we got two. Now you got two things.
I got two things written down. Don't worry.
Good thing you've got a ginormous head. You don't even have to write things down because you got so much room and capacity up there. Yes. I got a little peanut head. My peanut head can't hold much more information.
Next on the brew.
Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
That Derek Carr, Nick Cage.
Right. I'm telling you what, as a former soap opera actor, let me just tell you right now, that was, what do you get for this? Is that like a soapy?
Did they give an award? Yeah, they used to give out soapies, yeah.
Soapies?
You get a soapy for that?
That was tremendous.
Man.
And, you know, the thing that I heard more than anything else, but, you know, between the tears and the gasps for air.
Derek Carr, by the way.
Yeah. I wish everybody felt that way, and that he's referring to the locker room right now, the loser's locker room. Like, not everybody's giving that effort. First off, the first thing is, dude, life's hard, right? Quit your crying. He would be the equivalent of an 8 a.m. texter, Derek Carr.
Then I had to get up early. My mom didn't make me breakfast. Do you know how hard it is to play video games on an empty stomach?
I mean, Lord have mercy,
soft,
dude. Like, let's say, man, we ain't curing cancer over here, all right? Relax. It's a game invented by PE majors, played by PE majors. Like, we just need to calm down.
I can
down.
Just see. I want to play that again later. I just want everybody to think of like a soap opera scene where, like, you know, you got the person's in the coma in the hospital bed, and there's Derek Carr just sitting right by the bed talking to the comatose patient. Just picture that.
I'd like to see
that in a soap scene.
I'd like to see the video because he's probably got some Tammy Faye Baker mascara.
Oh, he's got the mascara running.
Yeah.
Anyway, the story there, other than Derek Carr weeping, is Mark Davis came out and gave Josh McDaniels the dreaded vote of confidence.
Oh, shoot. They've had two owner slash head coach meetings, and then you get the dreaded vote of confidence.
Yeah, he's done. Well, see you later.
But, I mean, you're going to pay him, too?
Best thing going for Nathaniel Hackett, he has not got a vote of confidence yet. Yeah. You don't want the vote of confidence.
No, you definitely.
Silence is golden here.
Yeah, you definitely don't want that.
That was some of the most dramatic audio I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Just pisses me off. I wish everybody in there felt like that. You guys see how hard I'm working? What it takes for me to go to sleep at night.
You know, maybe if you could have done more of that with Rock Hoover, you wouldn't have killed the guiding light.
I know. If I would have just had his acting chops.
His gravitas.
You know what? I'm going to have...
talk to him this week.
Yeah, I'll meet with him this week. I'm going to ask him to give me some acting lessons.
Yes! Because, dude, you just got to tell him. Oh, dude.
That was
next level.
What I heard right there and what I saw right there in my mind, my mind's eye, because I could picture it, that dude should quit right now and go to Hollywood. Right now.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. We are live out here at the IHOP for the Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club in Highlands Ranch. 9565 South University Boulevard. Come on by and try out their all-new thick and fluffy French toast. You get it free with the purchase of $10.43 or more. So we are out here going throughout the morning with you. Come on by. Please take your time. The roads are not good this morning. This unexpected snow came in, and it has left the roads a bit messy. So give yourself some extra time. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, tells us if Nathaniel Hackett's job is on the line this week. That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike Kliss of 9 News joins us. He's presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. You guys ever have a tough time getting out of bed in the morning?
Is today one of those days?
Today's one of those days.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Hey, imagine if you played for the Broncos, how tough it'd be to get out of bed this morning.
Yeah, I know. With the snow and everything, I don't know if you guys got snow, but we got it coming down pretty good on the west side.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, the Broncos are, especially on the offensive side of things, don't seem to have much energy.
Well, not only the energy or plan, for that matter, and, you know, you keep hanging up 10 points a game. I mean, they're making historic. These are historic just times with the number one scoring defense in football, the last place scoring offense in football, and something that hasn't happened since 1946. And we keep saying the same thing, like, what is the adjustment? What are they going to do? Mike, there doesn't seem, week after week, it seems to be the same song and dance, the same story. At what point do we see some change?
Yeah, I think from what I understand, they're talking about it. You know, upstairs, the coaches, management. You know, they know the thing is broke. They know the thing is needs to be fixed. The problem is, I think one of the problems is whenever you're trying to make change, you have to eventually have a follow-up question and say, well, is this really going to help? And what can you do out there that would help, that would change, that would spark things? And now, the fact that the Indianapolis Colts fired their coach and Jeff Saturday from the media studios went out there and won a game doesn't help the Broncos coaching staff much, that's for sure. But you're right. I do think they need to make a change. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they're talking about it. We'll see if they actually pull the trigger and do make some sort of significant change. Right now, as of now, they have not done so.
What would qualify for you as a significant change?
Well, there's Troy asked a good, he put it a good way on the accountability, which is, don't you need to have consequences? And, does that mean reassign? Does that mean cutting, releasing a player, a firing? None of those things have happened. So play calling. Would be another one. The play calling, looking at the play calling to me, in light of what Sirianni did last year when they were in the same position the Broncos were, I think they were 3-6 at one point last year. And I know they were 2-5. So then they finished 9-8, and it was somewhere in week 7-9 that Sirianni gave up play calling. I don't know if that's best for Russell Wilson or not, but I do know this. You can't keep trotting out that product that they've been trotting out the first 9 weeks of the season. It's just, especially this week against the Raiders, I do think they need something to try to jolt things up on the offensive side.
Mike, does the presence of Ejiro Evero factor into all of this? Because you know how it works in this league. This guy is going to be a hot commodity. This guy might be a head coach in the NFL next year. And is there a sense that, hey, we have to really decide what we have and what we want to do with Hackett, because we may not want to lose this guy?
Yeah, but that wouldn't be an in-season type of thing. I suppose Hackett will be coaching, like you said yesterday, he's coaching every week for his job. Really, he's coached the rest of the season, I would think he's coaching for his job. But Evero, I mean, I don't know. I do agree with you that he's a head coaching candidate. Boy, is he impressive. And he's getting it done on the field, too, with the way his defense is run. I thought it was real creative what he did against Tennessee. He changed from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and that worked. And he is head coaching material. He's still going to be coming from a bad team, even though he's a very good defensive coordinator and locally we've seen what he's done, I'm not sure nationally they've seen what he's done. But, yes, he should be a head coach soon. But, again, if any such move like that would happen, it would be after the season. Got to remember, too, Evero and Hackett are best friends. And that might be, you know, that might not be the easiest transition that people think.
All right. Should be a fascinating week, culminating on Sunday with what figures to be a bloodthirsty crowd coming out to watch the Broncos and the Raiders. Hey, best news for Hackett, he didn't get the dreaded vote of confidence yet. Josh got one of those yesterday, so he's done.
Yeah. You know, Josh, this reminds me of Josh in 2010 when he was with the Broncos and the Raiders with Tom Cable beat him 59-14.
Yeah.
Didn't throw a pass, did not throw a pass in the fourth quarter. Tom Cable, the Raiders actually showed mercy on the Broncos in the fourth quarter.
Oh, they could have scored 70 that day. Easily.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And it wasn't long before Josh was out the door. So, obviously, that can't happen on Sunday.
No. All right. Thank you, Michael.
See you guys.
Mike Liss of 9 News joining us, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. What's what's trending coming up at 7:30? Four down territory coming up next. The Avs. I tell you what, say this about the Blues. If there's one team in the Western Conference that is not intimidated by the Avalanche, it is St. Louis. They proved it again last night. And more of Derek Carr's dramatic, soapy, award-winning performance after the game on Sunday next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.